Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Just 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, welcome into the Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. I'm Brady Hull, off for a couple of days, but we're back in the saddle here, ready to rock and roll. We got the Jades of Spades on the other side of the bulletproof glass with us today. Shout out to Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire from the Coloradoan for filling in for me yesterday. I was off yesterday, I was off Friday, I was off Thursday. Lots happened. Certainly in that amount of time. We got a Avalanche final series going on. We got a 2-1 at this point, and we'll talk about that. We'll get into that. The Rockies swept the Padres, but the Padres are terrible at Coors Field. Just awful there. So we'll get into some of that. We got the NBA draft coming up on Thursday, and are we feeling any better about David Roddy potentially going to the Nuggets? And more importantly for the Nuggets, in the grand scheme of things, are we feeling comfortable at some of the prospects, with some of the prospects for the Nuggets, or do the Nuggets feel comfortable? Does Calvin Booth go crazy in the draft? Does he use those picks 21 and 30 to potentially package a deal together with, sorry, but Amonte Morris? So we got a lot to get to, short time to do it. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Okay, it's 2-1 in the series. Dude, you talk to certain Avs fans, and I like the Denver Post. I really do. I like it. I'm entertained by Kisla. He hates my guts, but I'm entertained by him. But some of you guys, the crap you write is just to get clicks, and it's just so stupid. The idea that Bednar didn't bury Darcy Kemper last night in his postgame comments. Seriously, that's... Where is it? I have it here, Jays. Where is it? Come on. Avs coach Jared Bednar, wishy-washy on starting goalie after 6-2 blowout loss. He goes on to say this. In the aftermath of defeat that not only gave life to the two-time defending champs, but allowed Tampa Bay to cut its deficit in this best-of-seven series 2-1, Bednar played it coy, refusing to either give Kemper a vote of confidence or declare Pavel Francouz is between the pipes until further notice. Sorry, but that's a lousy excuse for leadership. That's what he says in his article. And I know, I'm giving him credence here, I'm talking about him. Like I said, I'm a fan. He doesn't like me, but I'm a fan. I've invited him on the show, and he said no. That was over the CSU stuff. Didn't think I'd invite him this time around, because once you turn down once, lover scorned, Jades. I didn't want to have him on again. So that's it. That's where we. But I still read his stuff. I'm not that petty. I know people think I'm petty, but I still read his stuff. But saying that's a lousy excuse for leadership. You're up 2-1 in the Stanley freaking finals. I almost cussed. Get ready with that dump button there, Jades. You just never know when it's going to happen. Why are you acting like this is just a regular series? That this is just game 18 in the regular season? The Tampa Bay Lightning. Okay, I'm going to say this. Turn up your radios, guys. Turn them up. The Tampa Bay Lightning are the back-to-back Stanley Cup champs. And you guys are acting like you're pissed because the Avs aren't up 3-0. I don't care if the Avs don't win this series. They're in the Stanley Cup final. And I know, hockey fan out there, oh, Brady, it's final. Not finals. You are losing fans when you do that crap. Stop. Stop being a jerk. It's my hockey. You haven't been watching. It's my hockey. That's what you sound like to 90% of the world. Hockey guy out there. First of all, I'm feisty today, Jades. I've been off for a few days. I've got energy, man. I'm ready to rock and roll. We got Broncos training camp coming up in a month. We got the draft coming up. Where's David Roddy going? I mean, so many great connections. I got Stampede tickets to give away, too, thanks to our friends from Buildings by Design. Stone Temple Pilots. Does that mean anything to you, Jades, when I say the words Stone Temple Pilots? That do anything for you? Nothing? Never heard of them? Yeah, I get it. I like Stone Temple Pilots. They're playing at the Greeley Stampede this Saturday. This Saturday, dude. They're playing this Saturday. Already. The Greeley Stampede starts on Thursday. And if you're a rocker like me, you're not going to want to miss Stone Temple Pilots. I will have a pair of tickets to give away for those, for that concert coming up later on in the show. Just pay attention, okay? You're going to hear Stone Temple Pilots' song and then go, oh, he's probably getting ready to give it away. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Why do we act like, this is what always kind of drives me crazy in sports. And again, if you get, like, when the Broncos got blown out in Seattle, in the Super Bowl against Seattle, clearly they weren't prepared. They were awful. So we can point the finger at John Fox and go, dude, there's like six things we can specifically say that caused the Broncos to lose that. One of them was you said Super Bowl crowds aren't loud and you gave up a bad snap right off the bat and Seattle goes up 7-0. So I guess I look at the situation and I go, okay, there's times when it calls for, well, you weren't good enough. If the Avs had been to the Stanley Cup final last year and lost, and then they were here this year, and they were down 1-2. And you want to be critical and go, yeah, they got to be better than this by now. They were here last year. They should know. I get where you're coming from there, but these are the best two teams in the country, in the world, dude. Tampa Bay, until proven otherwise, is the best team in the world. Because they won back-to-back. They've made it to three Stanley Cup final appearances in a row. And we're acting like being up 2-1 is end of the world. And we're treating Jared Bennett, lousy leadership. What did you expect him to do last night in the postgame? Well, Darcy Kuemper's terrible. He's not the guy. You know, he's not a championship goal. You're not going to do that in the postgame. I like raw emotion and responses to the games and players. I do. I enjoy it. But as the leader of the team, you're not going to throw the guy away that got you there. Darcy Kuemper was the guy all year. So you're not going to throw him under the bus in 1 4-second postgame. Sorry. If you're expecting that, you're an idiot. His message will be heard loud and clear tomorrow or whenever he makes that announcement, maybe today. I personally would go with Frankie. I just feel like, again, he gave up the power play goal. But I still, you don't pull Darcy that early. And again, it doesn't feel early when you're down by that much. But you don't do it that early without some kind of intention of saying, okay, we're not going to go right back to you. I don't see how you can. I think it's going to be Frankie tomorrow. I wouldn't be shocked if Darcy's done for the series. But you're not going to throw the guy under the bus. You're in the playoffs. You're in the Stanley Cup final. Now is not the time to panic as the leader of this team and start throwing dudes under the bus. That's not the way you go about it. So anyway, the article just floored me. Sorry, but that's a lousy excuse for leadership, Kisla says in the Denver Post. That he played it coy. Do you have the clip from Jared Bednar when he was asked about Darcy Kuemper and the goalie situation? Here is Bednar and what he said. Did it give us the world? No, but here it is.
Well, I didn't think he didn't have a good night, you know. Neither did our team. So again, we win as a team, lose as a team. You can group him in with everybody else, you know. Just weren't as good as we needed to be.
He's not wrong. They weren't good. The rest of the team wasn't good. The defense in front of Kuemper wasn't very good. The defense, if they do their job, you see three less goals in this game, probably. I mean, again, it is Darcy Kemper's fault, but Bednar's not wrong when he says it's everybody's fault. It is true. Quarterback can have a bad game, but if the defense is giving up 40 points, then, you know, everybody's bad. However, I still think you should a change at the goalie should be. Yeah, but listen, you're Bednar. You got the best team in hockey, save for your goalie.
You have two goalies that are okay. They're okay. You know, Darcy at times has played better than okay. His coaching here is going to be how to ride whichever hot hand for however long. And if you have to piece it together, if you have to piece this thing together by saying, Frankie, you're going to go in the first period tomorrow. We'll see how it goes. If I start to get queasy, Darcy's coming in. That's probably going to be where Jared Bednar could become a legendary coach. But you're going to throw him to the Wolves? He's up 2-1. And because he's not willing to say, to name a starter 5 seconds after the game, and because he's not willing to say that Darcy's not good, you're going to throw him to the Wolves and say that that's a lousy excuse for leadership? You are 2-1, dude, in the Stanley Cup final against the back-to-back champs. It's unbelievable to me. I know a lot of people think I'm a homer. Kisla's accused me of that for CSU. I've been critical of CSU. I'm critical of the Avalanche. I'm critical of all my teams that we talk about here. It's the way it goes. But at some point, you got to look at it and say, does Bednar, specifically Jared Bednar, deserve criticism right now? I'm telling you, Jades, Tampa Bay could win this series. They could go on and win it 3-2, and I'm still not going to get on the fire Jared Bednar, and he's a bad leader. They didn't have the... If they lose this series, we're going to look back and say, they didn't have the right goalie. They didn't have the right goalie. Tampa Bay did. The best goalie in the world. He is. He's just that good, dude. I'm looking at his games over the years. Vasilevsky just... He might give up a bad game. Forget about it the next three. He doesn't remember. It's like it goes away. It's like a great corner in the NFL. You give up blown coverage for a touchdown, and you're locked down for the next 8 weeks. Vasi's that good. That's why the idiots out there, when he gave up however many goals the Avs scored, what did they score, 7 the other night in their game 2 win? When people were like, oh, really? This guy's that? He's really the best goalie? Watch more than one game. Listen to what people like Mark Mosier are saying because they get it. The guy's going to give up goals one night. You're going to maybe catch him on an off night, but he's going to rebound, whether inside the game or the next. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Jades, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Well, the good for me... Hey, listen, it's good that the Avs are up 2-1, but I'm just going to say this. The Rockies sweep the Padres, found a way to get it done, and they're, what, 7 games under 500 in June? It's not great, but the June swoon hasn't really taken full effect just yet. And so, they have a series coming up with Miami. And then Minnesota, and then the Dodgers. Are they going to get out of... Now, I have a friendly bet with... A lunch bet with Good Morning NoCo's Tanner Schwint that the Rockies will not be better than 8 games under 500 by the end of the month. And it's going to be close. And I hope I'm wrong. I'd gladly buy Tanner a $1 cheeseburger from McDonald's if it meant the Rockies could be 6-5 games under 500. Now, the bad for me, obviously, all things aside with the team and how they played and Bednar, whatever, Darcy Kuemper was bad. He was bad in this game. He gave up 5 goals last night, and that's ultimately what cost them game 3. And there's no way around it. That's the bad.
With some speed down low, they score! Palat crossed with Kucherov. Now dumps for Stamkos. Palat scores! Colton centers one, and they score! Turned in the corner by Kuemper. Now center, Stamkos scores! Kucherov still out there. Maroon down low, he scores!
It was rough. But overall, the ugly is the overarching theme here of the game, is that the Avs just absolutely got outworked. Nathan MacKinnon was kind of a no-show with no goals, and here's Jared Bednar on the fact that MacKinnon didn't have any goals in this one. And again, it was just a lousy effort overall by the Avs last night.
The last thing you want to do is get frustrated, especially if you're getting opportunities and creating opportunities. Eventually it will come. There's not, you don't have any choice as a player but to stick with it. You know you're doing the right things. You're creating chances. You're helping your line mates create chances. You just got to stick with it and keep going. Eventually you'll break through if the volume is there and quality is there.
And listen, nobody's going to – I won't hear it today about McKinnon. McKinnon – He's gonna make things. I mean, we want to talk about the goalie all day long, but Nathan McKinnon has a chance to be a hero in this series. He's touched the playoffs so much, so significantly, and I love to see that. I'm glad that all of these guys have Cale Makar. I'm glad that they've been involved because you want your great players to touch these series if you win. It's kind of like how kind of empty it felt in a way when the Broncos won their third Super Bowl and Manning wasn't really good in it. At least your studs are shining. You need McKinnon to be the guy. You need him to be doing everything that he possibly can to ensure this series win. And listen, I will not be shocked if Tampa Bay wins Game 4 and we tie this up and we bring it back to Colorado. I won't be shocked. I have called one game right in this series so far. I picked the Avs to lose Game 1. I picked the Avs to win Game 2. Got that. I picked the Avs to win Game 3. So I'm not as confident in my own ability right now at this stage. But listen, even if it goes 2-2, it's a Stanley Cup final. They're the two best teams in hockey. And you're mad that we're not talking 3-0 or sweep? Get out of here with that. 21 minutes after the hour, we got a short break. Don't forget, I have Stone Temple Pilots tickets to give away, courtesy of Buildings by Design, for the Greeley Stampede. The Stampede starts on Thursday. If you can believe it, summer is officially here. That's what means it when the Greeley Stampede is rocking and rolling. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who's starting tomorrow? Is it going to be Frankie? Is it going to be Kemper? Who's getting the start? You let me know. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll be right back.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, I didn't love our execution tonight. Goals against kind of similar to Game 1. Like, I felt like we didn't make them earn a couple of those. And then we didn't win a lot of the touches that we won in Game 2 for certain. Like wings on the walls. They airmailed a lot of pucks out into the neutral zone. Game 2, we came up with all of them. We were sitting right on top of them. Great reloads, and we came up with most of those pucks and transition them. Tonight seemed like they came up with them and came in our end. We had a couple bad reads, couple turnovers. Like, I just felt like the goals that we gave up, we just honestly didn't make them earn it.
I mean, there's Jared Bednar again talking about a little bit of everything as far as what went wrong last night in Game 3's loss, 6-2 to the Tampa Bay Lightning. And there he does. He is saying a lot more outside of Darcy Kemper. He's saying there was a lot wrong with that game outside of the goaltending. We weren't getting in front of guys. We weren't, as far as that goes, we simply weren't doing that. The defense is not getting in front of Kemper, and that hurts. I mean, it is a collective effort. We do put a lot of pressure on a goalkeeping. In hockey, it's about the hot goalie. And again, this is what we do in different sports. In baseball, it's who has overall the better pitching staff. In football, okay, it's at the end of the day, it's the better quarterback. We can the better scorer in the NBA. Who's the better superstar? We always have one guy we point to, but you can't do it without a collective effort. And again, it was a sloppy performance overall. I do think that you make the change. I think you go with Frankie in this situation. And again, simply, you look at what happened when you pull a goalie in the second, when you're down by that much. To me, it's like, okay, you pulled him here. You clearly didn't think he was good enough to finish the game, and it was going to get out of control. And if you want any shot of winning this game, you can't have him between the pipes. So you're going to put Francois in there. Now you're going to turn around and say, well, let's throw Darcy back out there. Maybe just clearing his head will work. That's well and good if your name's Andre Vasilevsky. Like, if you've shown that you have this ability to completely forget about what happened before and be better, the best goalies can do that. The best goalies have that ability to have a bad game, have a rough outing, and then turn around and be sensational. I mean, when they lost 7-0, he gave up 7. He had 30 saves. Now the other night, or last night, he gave up 2 and he had 39 saves. So, I mean, again, he was in the zone last night. So is Darcy a guy that can do that? And have we seen that from him on a consistent basis? Vasi's made his career of that. I have a rough night once in a while. Happens to the best players in the world. Kobe Bryant had games where he had 20 points. Michael Jordan had games where he just, you know, his shot percentage just wasn't there. Steph Curry's had games where he doesn't hit a three-pointer. Not very often, but it happens, and then you bounce back and you end up being the finals MVP. You know, I look at overall the way that this series has gone, the way the playoffs have gone, quite frankly. And again, you have Frankie who has had great playoff experience this go around, and he's been all right. I mean, he's actually been all right. In this one, he played, what, the 2 games against Nashville. He played, what, four or five games against Edmonton, and he really wasn't bad there. He had 1 shutout in that situation. So I just overall look at the way last night went, and I don't see any way you're going to go with Darcy Kuemper tomorrow. And, you know, I heard Good Morning Noco fellas talking about Kuemper being on a short leash. I think it's the other way around. You go with Frankie and you put him on a short leash. And if Bednar has to piece this thing together, stitch the goalies together here to get 2 more wins, then that's what you got to do. You're going to have this high-flying offense, this high-flying team deliver in a big way, because you might have 2 more high-scoring games. Your 2 wins that you need to get might be very high-scoring. You know, you may have to get to the point where you can't rely on perfection, because you're not going to get it from these goalies. You're going to have to rely on doing just enough to get by. And that's where you are. And again, that does not point any fingers on Jared Bednar. He cannot be responsible for stopping pucks. I think his decision-making has been pretty good for the most part in how he's dealt with his goalies. I think tomorrow's going to be, you know, it's not going to be, you know, the end of the world one way or the other for Bednar. It's not going to make him the greatest coach of all time or the worst coach of all time. But I do think in telling the story of the Avalanche and Jared Bednar and him as a coach, tomorrow's decision and probably the rest of this series will go down as one of those really key factors one way or the other into his legacy. And we're talking a lot about legacy lately. We're talking about dynasties last week with Golden State. We were hitting that. You know, the Avs have a chance to be kind of a dynasty here. This either starts with a great decision at the goalie spot tomorrow, or perhaps we see the beginning of the end in this series. But you're dealing with a team that has monster experience when it comes to this series specifically. They've been here several times before. They know what it's like. They've been down in series all year or all postseason. The Avs have not had that. You know, as for the Avalanche, have they had any real controversy? I mean, you want to go back to the St. Louis series. Was it game 2 that they lost? Yeah, so they win in overtime game 1. They lose in game 2. And there's controversy there. Well, then you answer by winning 5-2. And then you take the next one at St. Louis, you win 6-3. You handled all the drama, and there was drama. Kadri was in the mix, you know, had the death threats, the racist stuff going on, all that, and you came back in a big way. But this feels a bit different. Again, why does it feel different? Because St. Louis isn't the 2-time back-to-back Stanley Cup champs heading into this their third Stanley Cup appearance in a row. That's the difference. We're going to see it. We're going to see drama. The Avs have not been, again, they're not down. They've been tied in one series so far. That's it. They were tied with St. Louis 1-1. If Tampa Bay finds a way to get it done tomorrow, then yeah, we'll have our second tie. It's only their third loss in the playoffs. People are freaking out today. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be a bit concerned. I'm concerned. But I'm not freaking out. You're up 2-1. You have two more games to win. It's still very much right there. 34 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. I got Stone Temple Pilots tickets to give away. You're not going to miss that. I will do that before the end of this hour. Golden State Warriors, they get their title. There's four in this certain regime. Is Steph Curry in the GOAT conversation? And if not, why not? We'll talk about that next, 34 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Little Stone Temple Pilots for you there, Jades. What do you think? Yeah? It's not bad. It's grunge, right? I mean, this was the big deal in the 90s, and they have the staying power. Not a lot of bands from that period have staying power, but this is a band that's still pretty good. There it is, Stone Temple Pilots. You heard it. That's the cue to call. We're going to go caller number seven. Caller number seven on the First Advantage Hotline. I got a pair of tickets to go see the Stone Temple Pilots this Saturday, 8 o'clock, live from the Greeley Stampede. I got a pair for you. You just got to be caller 7 on the First Advantage Hotline, 970-353-1310. That's, again, 970-353-1310. Stone Temple Pilots getting set to go Saturday at 8 o'clock. Man, it's summertime. It's going to be beautiful. That time of night, man, forget about it. At a great venue like the Stampede, and you get to see a legendary rock band in the Stone Temple Pilots. That'd be sweet. All right, caller 7, 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. The Golden State Warriors get their championship. That's their fourth kind of in this regime with Curry and Steve Kerr and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson, and now you're adding a bunch of new guys to the mix. And Steph gets his finals MVP as well. So he's done everything else. He's had multiple MVPs in the regular season. He's had now the four titles, two without Kevin Durant, two with Durant. So you don't have any of that kind of thing there, you know, talking about how, well, you can only win it with Durant. None of that is the case. He was the guy. Klay Thompson certainly took a step back because of the injury. Draymond Green took a step back as far as his scoring goes. But I think that Curry should be considered in that conversation when you're talking about the GOAT. I think that, you know, again, he's not better than Jordan. Not better than Kobe. He's not better than LeBron. But should he should he be able to, or be in that conversation, I suppose? That's where I'm, again, I don't think he's the GOAT. He's not better than Jordan. Jordan's the GOAT. I've always said this. Jordan's the GOAT. But the fact that Curry's not in that conversation like LeBron James is really interesting to me. He has as many titles as LeBron. He's done it with one team. And he's done it both by, okay, we did it without Kevin Durant. Then we did it with Kevin Durant. And I'm sorry, am I wrong? Yeah, they did. They won one, and then they won two with Durant, and then they won another one. So he's got four. He's got as many titles as LeBron James now. And LeBron, two of those titles with Miami, we all said, okay, he went to a great team. On the other hand, Steph stayed in Golden State, and they built around him. And let's not forget, it's a very good team. Maybe that's why the conversation always turns differently with Steph Curry as far as being talked about as the GOAT. Because Golden State has been a pretty good team over the years. They are stacked, and they were stacked this year. This might be the better team with the way Jordan Poole came on in the playoffs, especially. And then Draymond did. People want to knock Draymond's ability, but man, he's still there defensively. He was still a quarterback on the floor. He still led this team. And Steve Kerr, he's kind of an annoying dude to me, but he's a good coach. Jades, we got some breaking news on this Tuesday afternoon. Wow. That's a bummer. Tampa Bay Buccaneers tight end Rob Gronkowski is retiring from the NFL for the second time. Will it stick? I don't know. I'm always a little leery of that. But according to ESPN, he is calling it a career. He's 32 years old. He did it on social media moments ago. He retired back in 18 with the Patriots. Injuries were piling up and everything. Then he came back. I would have liked to see him finish it out with Tom, but good for him, man. I mean, you're seeing guys now. I've talked about this a lot. 32 is pretty young when you're a great player. You know, it used to be the average NFL life expectancy. I'm talking about playing in the NFL. It used to be like 4 to 5 years, and that was just regular guys. You know, not a knock on it, but the Mitch Unrinds of the world. The guys that are just they're NFL players. They can start sometimes. They can be backups. They play in the NFL. And those guys typically last 4 or 5 years. The Gronks of the world can last for, if they can stay healthy, they can last for a very long time. You know, 10 years is easier now than it used to be. At least you see that. So, you know, when you see guys in their under the mid-30s range, call it a career, that's just kind of the sign of the times, too. He's had a lot of injuries, too. But he's done it all, man. He's going to go down as one of those top tight ends, and a great personality and everything. I mean, 2011, he went nuts. He set the NFL record for most receiving touchdowns by a tight end. He had 17. You know, he was a fan favorite. He got 4 Super Bowls, 3 with the Pats, the 1 with the Bucks. First team All-Pro in 11, 14, 15, and 17. He made it to 5 Pro Bowls. He led the NFL in receiving touchdowns in 11. He was NFL Comeback of the Year in 14. He was in the All-Decade team in the 2010s All-Decade team. So, I mean, he's ridiculous, dude. I mean, he's got the most career touchdowns by a tight end in postseason history. And again, playing with Tom Brady certainly doesn't hurt. You're going to get the ball. You're going to get more chances than most to get touchdowns. He's the second most at any position behind only Jerry Rice. But again, he and Tom were going deep in the playoffs all the time. Sometimes just being in those games. Okay, here it is then, Jades. You know my rule on the Hall of Fame. You know the rule. Is Rob Gronkowski a Hall of Famer? Yes or no? And you said it yet. You said it instantly. So there is no debate. Yes, he is a Hall of Famer. 92 total career touchdowns. That's 12th most in the NFL in NFL history. Third most at the tight end position behind only Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez. He's in that category. Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez, two of the greats, amazing tight ends that did it at the highest level. He's in that conversation, so no doubt about it. Gronkowski, if he stays retired, he is a Hall of Famer. Stupid first ballot, second ballot. I don't like all that junk. You either are or you aren't. Gronk will be first ballot. He is a Hall of Famer, again, if he stays retired. Which I think they need to change that, by the way. Why do you have to be out for 5 years? Let them, like, especially old guys like coaches and owners and stuff, like, when you retire and you say you're done, and even if you come back, I don't care. Just if you're done and you're in, it's an instant, hey, Hall of Fame committee, looks like Gronk just retired. Is he a Hall of Famer? Let's vote. Okay, he is. We'll put him in the ceremony next year. None of this wait 20 years. And I get it. The NFL strategic about this, right? They want to have a ceremony every year. And if you did it like that, you wouldn't have a Hall of Fame ceremony every year because you'd be moving the guys in instantly. And then you'd have to wait. You might have a year or two or three or four or five where guys retire and, you know, you don't have any Hall of Famers in a certain retirement class. So I get why. I understand it. Not knocking it. Just if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. And Gronk certainly is. 47 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one. The Rockies are staying alive in June, taking some of the pressure off this team. Is this just, are we just delaying the inevitable, though? I mean, are the Rockies going to eventually fall apart where we do see them 15 games under 500 or so? They're sitting at 7, and it felt like they were on their way against the Guardians. But the Padres, even though they're not, you know, not a bad team at all, they just cannot seem to fare very well in Coors. What is it, 11? How many in a row is the Jades? 10? 10 in a row? So that's the cure. I mean, the Padres, they've won 40-plus. They're 42-27. I mean, they beat the Diamondbacks last night. So they're not a bad team. It's just sometimes you can't get over that hump.
They were ahead of the Dodgers, too. They had the division lead.
So the Rockies have their number at Coors Field. Well, they split the series on the road. I did not see that coming. So somehow, the Rockies' best medicine is to play the Padres. Yeah, but it's going to be interesting for the rest of the month. Three more series is to go. Miami, Minnesota, and the Dodgers. My bet with Tanner is that the Rockies will not be better than 8 games under 500. It's going to be close. I think it's going to be good. And I hope I'm wrong. Like I said, I hope I'm wrong. Do you want to shout out to No Limit Collectibles? Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. We're talking Hall of Fames and dynasties and great players all over the world. They commemorate these moments with pictures and put them in picture frames and sign stuff. Ken Yamada, the owner over there, they do a wonderful job of getting out to shows throughout the country and finding the best items. They're now in Greeley right by Cables. So there's no excuse. I don't care if you're in Fort Collins, Loveland, they're in your neck of the woods, not that far away, for the best collectibles, best sports collectibles around. That's No Limit Collectibles, cards, memorabilia, signed memorabilia, you name it. They have it. Also a Pokemon section, too, which is pretty damn popular. No Limit Collectibles. There's no limit to what you can collect. 12:49 the time. Short break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Can the Rockies stay above water in the month of June? Give us one more month of not being totally out of it. We'll be right back.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show. Thanks for being with us here on this Tuesday afternoon. Man, the summer's rocking and rolling, isn't it? Yeah, I hope you had a great Father's Day on Sunday. I sure did, man. Just hanging out with my kiddo. He is something else. And, you know, I took Friday off. I took Monday off. So it was kind of a short little break there. But it's just, I tell you, you know, to be a father, to have that opportunity is unlike anything that you can experience. And so I hope you had a good one out there on the Rocks Liquor, bringing us our game beer of the week. Tilt you a tip of the cap there to y'all. This week's game beer of the week's from Breckenridge Brewing, Summer Pill Shandy. Pick up selections from Breckenridge or any of your adult favorite beverages. You can use the drive-thru. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. That drive-thru's very convenient. Pop through, tell them exactly what you want. And maybe you want the game beer. You want a little discount. From Breckenridge Brewing, it's a Summer Pills Shandy. Perfect, right? It's breezing by, man. We've got the Greeley Stampede starting up on Thursday. We've got, Broncos training camp was announced, and I'll get to that in a moment, as far as their dates and everything, and I want to get into some of that. In the second hour, the expectations for Russell Wilson, you know, as we're talking about this team getting back on the map. They certainly are. Now the expectations, how much have they changed going forward? I mean, there is a sense in this state that there's a lot of really great things going on in the sports world. I mean, the Avs doing their thing, even though some people are freaking out right now, up 2-1. Feels like you're down 1-2 with the way people are talking. The Broncos certainly being a part of that. That excitement and Russell Wilson being there. The Nuggets have the quote. We're always hashtagging things and giving something like a catchphrase. Well, the catchphrase for the Nuggets is the most important offseason in their history. That's where we've gone with this. It's because now you have the 2-time MVP and you got to do right by him. How do you win a title? because that's where you got to go. You're a perennial playoff team. You're going to make the playoffs now. You're back to at least a little better than where you were with George Karl. You're now, you know, expected, even though they lost in the first round of Golden State this year, you're still expected to be a playoff team and win a round or two. How do you change those expectations to, as Josh Kroenke said, championship or bust? Which I don't like that phrase if you don't mean anything by the word bust. Championship or bust means something's got to bust. Coach, star player, whatever. All right, Rockies. Rockies have won three in a row. They got Miami coming up today. That'll be on KFKA later on. 4 o'clock, early game. So I'm looking forward to that. Can they keep it going? Can the Rockies get some kind of magic behind them in the rest of the month? We'll find out. Second hour coming up next. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy.